blessed Savior. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name. Oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Wonderful Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Wonderful Savior, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Our friend we have in Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, I thought about sitting back and just listening. But I thought about, you know, where we're at today is you're in a doctor's office. And the doctor is in. He's here. And he will see you. You don't have to come back. You don't have to make another appointment, but it's nice to come back every time he opens the door. There's no waiting. The nurses are here and they're giving out suckers. and the suckers are here. That's me. But you know, if you're hurting, you're telling the doctor, I hurt here. And I heard here, and I heard here, but mostly I heard here, in my head. And you know, it's all right to cry. It's all right to tell him you love him. It's okay to say, God, I need help. I'm here because I need help. I've got a mental problem, and I do need help. I have a financial problem. God, I need help. But most of all, my soul needs a touch from you. That's the most important thing in life, is a touch from God. Is a soul-satisfying, down-to-earth, Holy Ghost touch in your soul. That's the most important thing. You know, I was sitting there, was it Monday? And I was sitting there, and I've never had this to happen before in my life. But all of a sudden, I started feeling really, really heavy in my heart. And I started crying. And God knows I have many problems. But I know how to deal with them, and I know how to cope with them, and I know God is there to help me with them. And I know that He will help me and see me through. But just down in my soul, I just started crying, and I had to go somewhere. And I don't know why I was bawling, and I just could not contain myself. I thought, God, and I kept telling him, Lord, I love you. I appreciate you. And he just kept letting me know that he was there. He said, I'm there. And you know, I didn't feel embarrassed. I didn't feel like somebody was looking at me, but I felt like I was getting a touch from the Master. I felt like that God was touching me, and I was so relieved. I felt so good that God would look at me and want to touch. I feel like I'm one of God's sons. Although that I make mistakes in life, I make the wrong turns, and I go here and there, but the Holy Ghost was just touching me. It just said, it's all right. It's okay. I'm here. I'm here. What do you need? I said, God, help me. I said, God, help me. I need a touch from you. Open my mind. Open my heart. I didn't want, you know, I don't want anything miraculous or big. I just want a touch from God. That's why I'm here today. Is that why you're here today? Is a touch from God. No matter what your condition is, He can touch you. The physician is here. He's got his mask on. He's got his surgical instruments out, and they are sterilized. And they will cut you to the bone. But you'll never know it. The only thing is, when you come out on the mountaintop. You come out feeling good. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. God can touch us. He can deal with us if we'll just allow Him to. And say, Lord, here I am. Touch me. Touch me, Lord. Help me. I want a touch from the Master's hand. I want a touch from, and let Him work on me. Because what is that song? They sing, He's still working on me. Come to the end of my life, God will be working on me if I just allow Him to. Give me a drink of water, please. Thank you, brother. You know, I am so unworthy of anything that God does for me. But I do want Him to know this. I love Him. And that I appreciate Him. And that He is my shield and my buckler. He helps me. When you need somebody, you know, I've made it a point to never let anybody know my heart. But there's one person that can know your heart that will never rend you with it. And that is God. You can tell God your heart. You can lay your heart out to Him and let Him know what it is and what is hurting you. And He will never turn on you with it. He will never turn on you. You know, I remember one time we went to Godfrey, Illinois, in the old van we had, and coming back home, and something happened, and I knew something was wrong. Because, you know, you're just driving down the road, and if you drive enough, you know when something really happens, even though it's not very loud. And it wasn't about 8 or 10 miles. My old van, it did. It locked up. The back wheels, I was doing about 80 miles an hour down the highway, and the back wheels just locked up. And I skidded over to the side of the road, kind of underneath the deal, and I said, and then I began to say, God, look what you did. We didn't have the money to go to this meeting. That's where we went. I began to tell Him, I said, God, you know we didn't have the money to go. And you know that I ain't got no money now. And I said, here you are. You broke me down in the middle of nowhere. At that time, we lived in Springfield, Missouri, or up that area. And so I got out, and I was walking down the highway, kicking rocks and stuff, and I began to tell Him about all this. Look what I did for you, Lord. I went to this and this and this, you know. I didn't hear nothing from Him. Didn't tell me anything. So I seen a gas station down the road ways, you know, and I thought, well, maybe I can go down there. They might be able to drag me in or something. And I went in there and I said, and they was busy here and there. So I seen that they had a little old bitty mechanic shop or there. And I said, sir, I said, now, I'm stranded out here on I-4 or whatever highway it was going to Illinois. And I'm broke down. I said, we just went to a church service and coming back, and we broke down. Boy, he hollered out at me, and he says, I don't help nobody that's broke down on the highway out there. He said, because I have been lied to. I've been given hot checks. And I don't know what all kinds of stuff. He said, I don't help nobody. And so I just said, well, thank you, sir. And I turned around and walked out. And, man, I was telling God about it. You know, I said, Lord, what am I going to do now? You know, and I was going back, and I got back in. By that time, it was about getting dark, and sitting there and didn't know what to do. And I think my wife had the only money we had. Because she carries there all of our money. I usually have a few dollars in my pocket, but not very many, you know. And so I said, well, how much money you got? And she pulled out this roll of 50-cent pieces. There was maybe six or seven. And they were ones I was really saving. I was saving these because they had Kennedy half a dollars and on there, you know. And I thought, well, boy, that'll be worth some money pretty soon. They was worth 50 cents is what they were worth. And so I said, okay. And by that time, Brother Michael Smith came by and swung in. I give them to him. I said, I want you to go and buy, they might be $10, but I don't mean, go and buy a tow rope. And by that time, I'll disconnect the drive shaft to it and wire it up, and then you pull it down the road. And so they took off, and, you know, I don't think they ever came back. They took my 50-cent pieces and never did make it back. They may have stopped and got them a shake or something. I don't know. But anyway, there was this truck pulled up behind me, you know, and this guy walked out, and he said, I've been thinking about what you said, because I had told him what I had. He said, and I, every time I would think about it, it would come to mind that I had the exact transmission you needed in that van. And, you know, it was a little three-speed transmission. He said, the more I thought about it, he said, the more kind of lay on my heart to bring it down here and put it in your van. And he said, then when we get done, he said, I want you to follow me down here to a station down here, and we're going to make sure it's got grease in it where you can get back where you're going. I almost kissed that man on the lips. I thought, God, I felt about that tall, because God answered prayers. It was amazing of how I didn't give him time to think about it. I crawled out of the van and you know, made sure he followed me down there, and he was bringing some tools, and we jerked that transmission out and put it back in there and got it fired up. And all the way, I felt so bad of the things that I had said to God, and I was saying, God, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me of losing my trust in you, Lord. That was what I felt so bad about, was losing my faith in God. I did. I followed him down there and drove into a station, and he told me, he said, pull that guy, and he pulled it in, raised it up, and put foot in it, went back down, and I kept shaking his hand, and I said, I'll repay you some way. And he said, don't worry about it. You know, I thought, Lord, bless that man. Bless that man. You know, and I kept thinking, God, you know where I'm at. I didn't even have to tell you my name, my address, or nothing. But you were there right on time. Right when I needed you the most. He was there. And He does it every time. It may not be the way that you think He's going to do it, but He will always come through for you. If you put your trust in God. That's the name of the game. Putting your faith and trust in Him. That's what He wants you to do, is to trust God. I can only trust Him. I can only trust Him. It's not what, because sometimes I think I'm pretty smart. But when it comes to when things get tough and things really start looking bad, do you like to lose control? Who likes to be in control? I mean, in total control. Do you like to have all the control that you need and maybe a little more? Do you? Have you ever lost control? Huh? It's bad, bad feeling. And then to lose control of your functions, that's worse. But that's what I'm saying. Put God in control. Let Him have control. Climb in the back seat and let Him drive. Because that's when you really give Him control. The best driver I have is always sitting to my right. She knows how to tell me where to turn and how fast to go and where to pull in the park, and she'll find me a parking place before I can even get into the car lot, you know. But I tell her, honey, I cannot read your mind. Even though I wish I could, I cannot read your mind. But I do know sometimes maybe I do need a driver over on the side. But you see, God is not that way. He's not wanting to take complete control of your life. That's not the thing of it. The thing of it is that He wants to help you. He don't want to dictate everything in your life. Man, I tell you what, since I've been living for God, I have had the most freedom that I have ever had in my entire life. There's things that I can do. There's places I can go. There's stuff that I can do. I haven't lost nothing, but I've gained a master and a Savior that loves me and wants to save my soul. That's what it is. It's that He wants to be a part of your life. I've met people, and I'm probably the same way. I probably portray that a lot of times, and I believe I do, and I'm working on it. There's a lot of people that does not want you to have any part of their life. And they like to be friends from a distance. And they may want you to call them, but that's as far as it goes. And I'm sure that sometimes I'm that way too. And I know we like to be alone, but God wants to be a part of your life. He wants to, because He loves you, He wants to take care of you. He wants to, but put Him in control, because the thing of it is, when He saves you, He wants to give you eternal life. See, that's the thing of it. He wants to be, wants you to be a part of a big family. That is it, the family of God. Be a part of the family of God. You know, I begin to wonder. I wonder if we are a loner Can a mountain man be a part of God's family? Really, if all he likes to do is just live out in the woods and hunt and fish and catch skunks and possums and squirrels and hunt and shoot a deer or two and go fishing and catch, and he's a loner, that's all he wants to do, can he be a part of this big family of God? Can he? Or does he have to lay that musket down and go down and find the house of God and get out on his knees and get the Holy Ghost and get saved? Is that it? I believe that's what he's got to do. That's what we got to do. We got to lay our muskets down and get down before God and say, fill me with the sweet Holy Ghost. Because that's what it's going to take. We've got to let God have a part of our hearts and our minds. We've got to turn our minds over to Him. And then that's where He begins to help us. But anyway, I'm going to get down from here. I'm sorry I'm rambling so much. But I just feel an unction from God to just serve Him more, to put a little more effort in it. Also, pray for Brother Brett. He had an accident. Pray for him. And pray for Brother Fleming's family. Pray for them. I missed him. I'm going to miss him. He was a good man. He was always up on current events. I appreciate him for that. You know, and I don't even know if he had internet or not. But he loved the thing. But appreciate him. Anyway, I'll get out from here. I just want to let God know that I love him. I do. I love God. Don't you love God? Things are going to get better. You know, things are going to get better. Don't you just feel it? Can't you feel it down in your bones? Come down to the end of your toes. I can feel God. And that's what He wants us to do, is just feel Him and to let Him know we love Him. Do you love Him? Do you love Him? Shake your hands and say, I love God. I love the Lord. You know, it's all right to do a little dance. I love God. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'll get off of here. But I appreciate the Lord. I really do. I'm glad that I'm here today. You know, I could be in the best hospital they are around, and there are some good ones out there, and I've been into some good ones. But, you know, I'd rather be here than anywhere else. On earth, I'd rather be. You know, I've never been to the Niagara Falls. I've always wanted to see it. I never did want to go over it in a barrel, but I've always wanted to see it. You know, I never did want to do that. You know, I wanted to see the Grand Canyon. You know, I didn't ever want to jump off in it, but I wanted to see it. They say the Colorado River is down there below, winding around here and there. And I've never, I have seen the Mississippi River a little bit, not a lot. You know, I always wanted to, but I don't want to do it now. I always wanted to get on a raft and go down it, you know. I always wanted to get on a kayak and get in one of the, where is it, where the water is just a roaring and a rushing. Well, that's just not for me now. I guess I've outgrown that. Or got to where that I can't do it. That's what it is, you know. But the best place to be is right here. In God's house, and make the most of it. If you don't want to be here, change your thinking. Say, God, help me. Help me like it. Do you like, I don't like spinach. And so I would have to say, help me learn to like it. Then I could start eating it, you know. You know, I'm telling you, when you first come to God, it seems like He don't like you. Because, I'm sorry, but I noticed when I first came to God, He didn't like me. He done everything in the world to run me off. I really believe He did. He gave me all kind of excuses. He would tell me that person over there is looking at you, and he really don't like you very much. And he's thinking of ways to make you mad. And so, I think I'll just go on home and stay. But you know, it wasn't him. It was me. Thinking of those things. Until I begin to realize that, God, You're working on me. That's what it is. You're working on me. You're doing things to me. Well, He wasn't really doing things to me. He was just allowing things to be done to me. Because I know... Man, I've been around, I guess, because I lost my house in a tornado. I didn't get the picture then, and I didn't get the message then. You know, you could say, well, God don't like you very much. But maybe He's just trying to tell me that He loves me and He wants me to come into the sweet house of God. In here, you can just sit down and eat, and you can eat anything that is on the table. God don't care, and He wants you to do it freely. He's here, and He's here to give it to you freely. But I'm going to get down from here. I appreciate you listening to me. I'm glad you had an open heart and would listen to me, to let me ramble on, because my ultimate goal is to please Jesus. You see, that's the thing. I've done two things. I was able to overcome the Adamic nature that is in me by letting God know that I love Him. You see? And then another thing, you guys was putting up with me and was able to overcome. But I do appreciate you guys, you saints. I really do. I appreciate it. I love you. I don't know what I'd do without God, without Jesus in my life. He's made it aware to me so many times, and I can't shut up about it. I can't. Every time I start to get out from here, I think of something else that God has done for me. And that He has done me good. He's done things for me that I could only begin to tell about. And I guess that's why we come back so often, is we get enough time to tell the rest of the story. Who was the guy that was on the news? Paul Harvey. He said, and here, that is the rest of the story. You know, and he told some good ones sometimes. I love you, folks.
Thank You, Jesus, for including me in the house that You're building today. Oh, keep Your hand on me, from my spirit set me free, for in this precious place I want to stay. Thank You, Jesus. precious place, I want to say, yes, thank you, Jesus, for including me in the house that you're building today. Oh, keep your hand on me, from my spirit set me free, for in this precious place I want to stay. Well, thank you, Jesus, for including me in the house that you're building today. Lord, keep your hand on me, from my spirit set me free, for in this precious place I want to stay. Yes, thank you, Jesus, for including me in the house that you're building today. Oh, keep your hand on me, from my spirit set me free, for in this precious place I want to stay. Thank you, Jesus, oh, in the house that you're building today. Oh, keep your hand on me, from my spirit set me free, for in this precious place I want to stay. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for including me in the house that you're building today. Lord, keep your hand on me, from my spirit set me free, for in this precious place I want to stay. Yes, thank you, Jesus, for including me in the house that you're building today. Lord, keep your hand on me, from my spirit set me free, for in this precious place I want to stay.
Thank you.
But anyway, we're glad to be here today. We tried hard, and I'll tell you what, when you can't get around very good, it's kind of hard. But anyway, we just got to go. That's all there is to it, because, there's something about it. It's just like in the natural. If you're able to get to the table, you're going to get there and get that meal, and that's the way it is in the house of the Lord. It's really hard for us to stay out of church like we do, but it's because that we just can't make it. That's just all there is to it. So, but anyway, we're happy to be here today, and it's good to see everybody. It's good to feel the Spirit of the Lord, and I'm like Brother Jerry said, I don't know what people does without the Lord. I just don't know. Anyway, it's so wonderful. It's so good to have the good company today, and to see them again. I remember meeting them back some time ago, but it's so good to see them again, and have an addition to our family, the family of God. But anyway, it's so good to see everybody today and to be here. And to, well, we miss y'all. We just miss y'all. I just get lonesome for the people of God. And so it's a wonderful walk. And I appreciate the Lord that as the song said, I'm in this precious way. I thought how that... I don't get discouraged, because, I mean, I feel like this is the way. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. I don't have to worry about it and think, well, am I in the right church? I know by the Spirit of the Lord, I know that I am. But the Lord does things to keep you encouraged. And so I've just been dreaming some of the best dreams. And I dreamed the other night that, I was here in church. And all at once the Spirit hit me and I jumped up and I yelled. And I tell you, I started speaking in tongues and I woke up. I spoke a long time, real fluently. And I woke up and I thought, hey, my goodness, I've been speaking in tongues. You know, made me feel so good. And I thought, well, Lord, I guess that since we haven't missed church so much, that you're just doing things to lift me up. And, oh, it felt so good. I'll tell you what. And different times I've dreams of being in meetings and fellowship meetings and with the people of God. And so it felt so good. So anyway, the Lord is good. He takes care of us. Every situation that is possible, well, he helps us. So it's good to be here today and to feel the Lord and to know that that we don't have anything to worry about. When I read the Bible, I think, well, Lord, I'm so thankful that we have a ministry that knows how to rightly divide the Word of God, that we don't have to worry and wonder if it's like we've been taught in the past. But, you know, that's one of the things that caused me to be real, real curious about the Word of God. I would read it, and I would hear, I knew that we taught it different than other people did. And it makes sense to me. It just makes sense to me. And I just, back whenever I was young, I was just a young girl when the Lord started dealing with me. And the things in the Bible that was taught that was so different out there. And I thought, Lord, I'm so thankful that we don't have to worry, that the Lord, that we are a people to be led by the Lord. And I mean led by the Lord, not by man, but by the Lord. And you know what? We've been around so long and we felt the Spirit of the Lord. We just about know what track you're on, don't we? And so anyway, God is so good to give us the good things of the Lord and to bless us and to help us. And we just know that when we come to the house of God, that we will get something. We'll get some daily bread, something that it's really will do our souls good. I thought we had a neighbor once that he come over to the fence and told my husband, he said, I just got a message a little bit ago. And Harlan said, oh, you did? Yeah, I just got it. He didn't get it out of the Bible. He got it somewhere else. But anyway, So I told Harlan, I said, we get daily bread. We don't get that stale stuff. We get daily bread. So anyway, it's so wonderful. I just praise and thank the Lord every day that he's given us the right thing, and we know that we can depend on him, and it's just something great to live. And this is a great way, and I wouldn't take nothing for it. I'll just tell you, I just appreciate this way, and I'm glad that the Lord talked to me when I was just a little girl. So I've been with his people a lot of years, and I'm glad that he talked to my heart when I was just young, and I desired to know what was the right way, and I asked him, and he gave it to me. So today, I'm so happy to be here. It's good to see everybody, and sorry to hear about Brother Britt and then Brother Fleming. It just seemed like about the time you get up high, feeling good, something brings you down. But anyway, we know that the Lord will take care of him and all. And of course, poor Brother Fleming, we'll miss him. But anyway, these things happen to all of us. But it's so good to be here today and see everybody. And so just keep on, keep on, keep it on.
For what God has done for myself, my family, I'll have to say that a couple of weeks ago was an emotional roller coaster. It was some of our probably a highlight, if you will, in our lives. But at the time, one of the hardest, understandably. But I say that because I'm trying to think of how I want to put this in words, just have appreciation for you all, the church here, the Brother and Sister Smith, the people here that get behind the load when he's not here, the laymen, the whole church in general. It's a indicator of how strong the church is, I think, and how God is working here, and that he is still has a work here. And even if you're not here, that it doesn't take long to be. It doesn't take a person long to sit here and see that, and to feel God's Spirit because of that. And I appreciate the people. Like I said, I feel that there's a good work going on here, and it's the same work that I've seen all over this country in the body of Christ. And I appreciate that not only can I see that, but I can understand that what's going on also. You know, you can see it, but sometimes you might not completely understand it. And I feel, I appreciate that vision that God has been merciful enough to me to give that to me. And if I didn't feel that about this church, I don't want to sound militant. I don't want to sound judgmental. I don't want to sound arrogant when I say this, but this young lady wouldn't be here right now. It is what it is. It's the way I feel. But I hope that doesn't come off wrong, but I mean it the opposite of what it's, the way it sounds. Because we wouldn't just trust her to anybody, obviously. I'm sure you all understand that. So I appreciate like that. I appreciate you all in that aspect. And I told somebody earlier to get ready. You're going to see a lot of us. And ready or not, here we come. So it's going to be our second home, if you will. So I appreciate that. You know, when you come out of a season like we're in right now, you know, it's always on your mind what you're thankful for. And our pastor, Brother B. Terrell, mentioned this not too long ago. Try to write down all the things you can think of, everything you're thankful for, everything that you, small and big, to see how big of a list you think you can come up with. And then you look at that list. I mean, just try to think as hard as you can and as much as you can, for the smallest things to the big miracles in your life, and stop and think for a while of how many things you probably have forgotten, and then stop and think of how many times that God has showed his mercy on you and blessed you when you didn't even realize it was happening. And I thought made me think of the children of Israel, how when they were in Egypt, and how Moses was pleading with Pharaoh and the Egyptians to let those people go so they can worship God how they needed to and God wanted them to, and God could have his people, and the struggle that he had, and God showed all those miracles to show Pharaoh and the Egyptians his might and his power and his strength, but also to show his people, you know, the same exact way, you know, the same exact thing in a different way, his power and his might, and how they could trust in him and lean on him, and that he was the only way possible for them to survive as a race of people. And they saw that at first. They trusted in it. And they leaned on him, and they and they followed that cloud and that fire by night, that cloud during the day. They followed it and trusted it. They trusted God would take care of them, feed them when there was nothing to eat. But, you know, over a period of time, their memory started getting shorter. And they began to grow unthankful, and because they begin to forget of what God has done for them. And I was thinking, it takes a person with a long memory never to forget what God has done, to be thankful. A thankful person doesn't have a short memory. And I want to keep that thankfulness, that song we sing, Roll Back the Curtain, of memory now and then, to remind me, dear Lord, of what you have done for me. And I want to keep playing that in my mind over and over, and never grow weary in well-doing, and to never grow unthankful because I've got caught up in my own world, my own pettiness, my own ambitions, my own wallowing my self-pity, and just think of myself so much that I forget what God has done for me. And so I have so much to be thankful for. I'm thankful for what God is doing, not only, like I said, in my life, my family's life, in the body of Christ, and as a group, individuals, as a family, spiritually and naturally. I don't ever want to take it for granted. You know, don't ever want to let that just become light and be lighthearted. But always keep that soberness and seriousness that God intended it to be. Like I said, I thank you for your prayers, your support for our Hannah and Caleb during the last couple of weeks. And like I said, we're coming. we're coming. And whether you're ready or not, I'm just overwhelmed right now. I keep saying that over and over, but I'm just thankful for God's grace and mercy more than anything. Where would we be without His grace and mercy? What kind of condition would we be in? So I thank God for, above all, His grace and mercy.
Brother Lucas and Brother Gary really inspired me because this weekend I've been, in my mind, I've been thinking of all the things I'm thankful for. And when Brother Lucas was talking about that, you know, you tend to think of the big things. But I was thinking of the little things God has done. So many. And I can remember the big things. Those are standing out in my mind. But, you know, I started going back and started recounting some of all those little things. And when I first came in and I didn't have a lot of faith and I didn't have a lot of trust. And I was trying and I was working at it, and how merciful God was. I thought, you know, he never failed me. He never failed me, not one time. And I thought that one time when we were going to have a dinner or something at church, and we had no money, no resources at all. And I got up that morning and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you know what's being required of me today. You know what they're asking me to do. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you to provide for us and help us to fulfill our obligation tonight. Because I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know, go Brother Smith and tell him we don't have the money. That sounded so petty, you know. We just can't afford to do that, you know. But I wanted to trust God. I wanted to reach out to the Lord. And you know, the Lord provided $20. And it was kind of a crazy thing how it all happened. But this brother, we were out at we were helping move some stuff. And I looked down in the dirt and it was just a bunch of dirt out there. It was Roy. He was looking down in this dirt, and he looked down there and dug around. He saw something shiny, picked it up, and it was a ring. It was a wedding ring. And there was where do you go with this wedding ring? There was nothing around, you know. So this brother says, hey, that's a really nice ring. It fit his finger. And he says, I always wanted a wedding ring. He goes, hey, Roy, how about I give you $20? Well, Roy came home, and he said to me, he goes, guess what happened today? And he told me what happened, and I knew the Lord provided that $20 for that meal. And I mean, I got so excited, you know. But little things like that, Lord just built my faith that when something came along, I just went, you know, I got to the place where, Lord, you know what our need is. You're gonna supply it, you know. And but you know what? Because of all those little things the Lord did for us and all the growing and the, you know, just seeing how what the Lord did for y'all or anybody else in our church, you know, I'd see things that how God worked. And it built my faith. So by the time we come here and we move here and everything we went through when we first got here and then we got a house we never thought the Lord would ever. We were surprised we could buy this beautiful home and didn't feel worthy. And we were, anyway, we were just so excited. We're so thankful. And then that happened to Roy 2 weeks after we moved in. And but you know what? I said, Lord, I know you know where we're at. You know where we're at, and you're not going to leave us. You know, and it helped my faith to see what the Lord did for him. And I just, you know, I'm so thankful for the Lord. I wouldn't want to have gone through this life without him. And I know I made that statement. I wouldn't want to raise a family without a wash machine and a dryer, but I sure wouldn't want to live this life without God. And I appreciate the Lord so much. He's always been there, always been there. And I was going to tell Brother and Sister Lucas that we'll love his daughter like she's ours. And we appreciate them. And we love Brother Caleb. And they're going to be a wonderful couple here. And I think they're a great match. And I appreciate them and appreciate the Lucas family for coming today and helping us. And God is so good. He's so wonderful and so faithful, so loving and kind and patient and long-suffering. And, I mean, he's merciful. And another thing I was going to say, when we went up to Jake and Terry's and we drove in the driveway and we found out, you know, their dryer went out on them and there was no heat in the house. And I thought, oh, Lord, I thought they're going to be all really down and depressed. They weren't. As I thought, that's God. You know, God, they just were trusting the Lord for what he was going to do for them. And before we left, they got a dryer, and somebody was going to help them fix their heating system. You know, the Lord is just, he's mindful of everything that goes on in our life. And he's just so, I just think he's so wonderful. He's a loving, patient God. Father is what I want to say. He's a patient father and a loving father. He's always concerned with our needs and our wants and He's better than anything you could ever have in your life. And I just love him and appreciate him.
Praise God. It's a privilege to be here. We are a little short-staffed, and but we, as Brother Lucas said, we pull together for the load and trust that the Lord will provide. I enjoy the Bible study today. I don't get to hear Bible studies very often. Because I have my own Bible study with the young adult class, and Brother Durham did a great job. I really enjoyed that and the way the interaction from other people in the class. I was very good. We're happy to have Markel Stevenson here today from here in Little Rock. I'm glad you're here, Markel. It's his first time here. And we're pleased that you're here with us today. The Lord is mindful of all of our circumstances, and there's nothing hid from him. You know, he knows our highs and our lows. He knows the very thoughts and intents of our heart. I appreciated how Brother York framed that and that you can bear your heart to God and know that He'll never use it against you. That He won't, you can just be totally honest with Him. And our faith in God oftentimes is misplaced in man. Sometimes we misplace our faith in our own strength, or we misplace our faith in the strength of others, just like the children of Israel did. Appreciate how you presented that, Brother Lucas, in that they put their faith, they had faith in God, they also had faith in Moses. And, you know, the truth of the matter is Moses could only get them so far. There came a point in their life where they had to, their faith was tested. Do you believe in God or not? And we'll all meet that test at some point, probably many times in our life. We will all come to a place where we're going to have to reconcile in our mind, do we believe God or not? Do we trust God or not? And through the good times, the not so good times, through the big events, through the small events, we have to learn to trust the Lord. I thought this week has been a trying week, you know, in some respects for this assembly here. I'll miss Brother Fleming. I miss him a lot. He was a good man. He was a good addition to this church. He complimented us in a lot of ways, and his testimonies, and always appreciated. He always had a point. He always knew how to tie his testimony together and make it to where it was giving honor to God. And I very much will miss him. And of course, I'm sorry for our brother Brett and the accident that he was in and the injury that he sustained. I know that there's good somewhere to be found. I know that the Lord will work some good in it some way or another. I'm trusting the Lord for that, for His quick recovery. I was thinking this week also that the Smith family got a new grandchild, a great-grandchild for Brother and Sister Smith, and what a blessing that is. I think it's a 10-pound baby girl. It's a big child. And what a wonderful blessing that is for them, and no complications, no problems, you know. And it just seems like, you know, that's life, honestly, that life is full of good things and life is full of bad things. And just as Sister Durham's testimony here, she had a responsibility to fulfill and she didn't have the means. But the Lord knew where the means was, and so her faith was placed in God. According to her testimony, she said, "Lord, you know what's required of me today, and if you'll see fit to provide, I'm trusting you." And that's the same for all of us, regardless of your circumstances today, and regardless of where you find yourself, the needs in your life, or your hopes, your dreams, your wishes. You know, whatever you has become your greatest priority for today, you'll have to find somewhere in your heart, somewhere in your life, somewhere in your thought process to put your faith in God, to trust Him. Now, I was visiting, saw Brother David Thompson last night and had a nice visit with him. And I was visiting with him. He was telling me he's been falling a lot. And I think he said he's fell 4 times this year. And I hope he don't mind me telling this. I don't think he will. If he does, I'll apologize. But he said that Sister Rita got on his case a little bit about climbing up and down ladders. He said, "I've been climbing up and down ladders all my life." And I guess he took a hard fall this year off top of a 5-foot ladder and hit the concrete and jarred him, you know. And I said, "Isn't that something?" And I was teasing him. Of course, y'all forgive me a little bit, but I'll use my wife to make a joke. And I said, isn't that something? I said, they just expect you to just go strong and not, just almost like you're invincible. But the first time that you show a sign of weakness, then, oh, you can't do that. Well, yes, I can. Then they start, you know, then they start correcting you. And say, oh, no, you can't go. Don't climb up on that ladder. That's what he was telling me. Sister Rita was telling me. You can't be climbing. Look, you're going to have to stay off them ladders. Well, you know, it's true, though. We do rest in our own strength. And people rely on us to be strong. And of course, Glass teasing me. I don't know. I guess I'd been working outside all day yesterday, and I come in the house and got up off the floor. And of course, I was sitting on the floor because sitting on the couch wasn't very comfortable because I was hurting. And so I got up off the floor and I was moving, you know, a little slow, and my knees are hurting a little bit. And, well, are you okay? Well, yes, I'm okay. You know, I'm okay, but I'm not moving as fast as I was, you know, 10 years ago or 20 years ago. I'm not invincible. And of course, she knows that. She knows, you know. Brother, I think Brother Smith says that Sister Smith knows how to push his buttons. She, Gladys, knows where my weaknesses are and the things that, you know, can light me up. And not that she does that, but I don't need help, actually, you know. that's part of the problem. I don't need any help in that category. But we put our trust in put our trust in the Lord, but we have a lot of confidence in each other. And sometimes when we let each other down, it leads to frustration, disappointment, sorrow, you know, anxiety. And if we're not careful, that letdown, if you will, it can lead to bitterness. You know, that disappointment can lead to anger, maybe cross words. You know, sometimes people get so mad that they do even violence. You know, they behave in a violent way. Well, that's because our faith, when our disappointment comes like that, it's because our faith is misplaced. When our disappointment comes in such a way that we hurt or offend, then we need to examine our faith, not necessarily the person that disappointed us. I was reading in Philippians 2, in the first, before I read that verse, I want to, there is a verse in Proverbs 27:19. That stood out to me. Proverbs 27:19, it says, as in water, face answereth to face, like a mirror. Face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. It's easy for us to see, you know, some people can't hide that. They can't hide their emotion very well. Some people have a great poker face. You can't tell if they're high or low, but others can. But typically, though, you know, the Bible says from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so usually as we're interacting with each other, we'll see the other person's actions, but oftentimes we'll see our own actions I mentioned that, I think, last Sunday. Have you ever experienced that, where the words that you use just instantly change someone's expression? I mean, just in a moment, they went from a smile to a frown. You can see yourself in how others see, in how others respond to you. And if we're not careful, that disappointment that we have with, that we're experiencing, isn't the disappointment that we have with another person. It's the disappointment of what we realize we are. And we have to be mindful of that. We have to be careful of how we treat each other and the words that we use and the approach that we take on how we deal with one another. And I'm not saying that, I'm not excluding myself from this. I don't have a corner on this market as far as having it nailed down. I'm wanting to encourage you along with myself that if we'll take care, the Bible says to be careful for nothing. If we'll take care in everything that we do, what a wonderful environment we'll create here. What a wonderful experience we'll have in this journey that we're on. What a wonderful place this house of God, this house of refuge, this hospital for the sinners will become if we'll take care of each other. Hallelujah. And so here in, I was reading here in Philippians 2, in verse 1, it said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, Philippians 2 and 1, if there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies or tender mercies and mercies, let nothing be done. He said, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. One mind, one love, like-minded, one love, one purpose, one love. He said, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. He said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we'll read a little bit more here, but the mind of Christ was the salvation of others. That was his mind. His purpose, his effort, his words, his actions, they all pointed back to one thing: the salvation of humanity, the salvation of others. He said, let every man esteem himself, let each esteem other better than themselves. You know, that's challenging. Because, for example, you know, let's say, for example, you're working like here on the church. If you're working here at the church, and I'm working with Brother Durham, I know that, you know, I know Brother Durham is a master plumber. And if I'm working with him, I'm not going to instruct him on how to do the job. But Brother Durham may have so much humility that he esteems me, or he esteems himself lower. As Paul said, let every man esteem another man higher. He may ask me, Brother Painter, what do you think about thus and so? That's just consideration. He's not saying, well, Brother Painter, you're a better plumber than I am. He's just showing consideration, showing love, so that there's no grievance or no offense. And of course, if that was to happen like that, I'd let Brother Durham know, right, Brother Durham, you don't need my permission. Whatever you decide is fine with me. You know, that's how you work together. You You recognize each other's weaknesses. Each other's strengths. And you don't, Brother York, we don't seek to take advantage of their weaknesses. We just learn to work together in love and consideration. And then we be joyful as we do it. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Sister Stewart, what was the second your chorus? I want to say the band song, too. I really enjoyed the band song, Brother McGowan. It just seemed like there was, like you were being helped. That song, the band song, was Great Is Our Lord, and I love that song. I've mentioned that before. But it just seemed like there at the end, you know, Jesus, when he spoke, he didn't have sound systems, and he didn't have, you know, television, and he didn't have amplified, you know, music. The Bible says that when he spoke, that his words were carried on the wind. And it just seemed like the band song there at the end, it just seemed like something came right in behind that song and just amplified the sound. It just was so beautiful. I enjoyed it. To have a heart that's pure, a spirit just like yours, a faith that will endure, that's my desire. Praise God. And just like in the Bible study today, see, this is how the Lord works. When Brother Durham got to church today, he didn't know he was going to be in charge of Bible study. But he went down that line of your conscience, how you have to develop a conscience. And then if you're not careful, your conscience will get defiled and it'll get seared over with a hot iron. But if you'll protect and seek the Lord, that you can protect your conscience where it'll always be bringing to remembrance the way that you're supposed to live and help and the way that you're the righteousness of the choices that you make. And then Sister Stewart, that song, to have a heart that's pure, a spirit just like yours. He said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. He said, who being in the form of God, he said he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. In other words, he had to be made in the likeness of men ensured that his stomach growled. There were nights that he knew hunger. To be made in the likeness of men meant that, you know, he walked around in sandals. But I'm sure that there was times that they didn't have no shoes, that he walked around barefooted. It meant that there were times that he knew the pain of stubbing his toe. To be made in the likeness of men meant that there were nights where he was cold, shivering. You know, have you ever been there where you lay down and you just can't find rest because there's not enough covers? There's not enough heat. To be made in the likeness of men meant that he knew what rejection felt like when he was walking down the side, you know, walking down the road and somebody just went to the other side or saw people whispering or even maybe vocalized their rejection of him. To be made in the likeness of men meant that he knew that what it felt to be all alone, just to, you know, even when his parents didn't understand, there he was, a 12-year-old boy and asking questions and was left. His parents run off and left him, you know. And then when they began to ask for explanation, he couldn't satisfy their explanation. To be made in the likeness of men meant that when you cut his hands like they did, or they set the crown of thorns upon his head, that there was red blood run down his forehead and across his eyes and down his face. He experienced the feelings of disappointment and sorrow and sadness and pain and hunger and cold. He experienced all the things that went with all that to be made in the likeness of men. But did you know he also experienced the joy? He also experienced the companionship when John the Baptist came up and baptized him, and the thrill that he felt, thank God, when the Lord, when his Father God spoke out of heaven, he said, "Behold, this is my Son." When the Bible says that the Spirit of God descended upon him when John baptized him, or when Peter was there talking to him, and the voice of God came out from heaven and said, "This is my Son, hear you him, my Lord," or the joy or the pleasure when maybe his mama fixed him, you know, something. I'm sure they had sugar of some sort, or maybe she fixed him his favorite meal, and he took that first bite, and he savored that. To be made in the likeness of men meant that he experienced that comforting love of when his mom came along and put her arms around him and held him a little tight. Said, "Jesus, I love you. I understand. I know that there's something different. I know that sometimes it gets hard, but just want you to know that to be made in the likeness of man meant that Jesus saw those tears running down her face. That day when he was hanging on the cross, and he saw his mama in the crowd, and he told his disciples, he said, "Behold, your mother." There was a love in his heart even still while he was there being crucified. He still had a care and concern for his mom. And he told his disciples, he said, "Behold your mother." In other words, take care of her. To be made in the likeness of men meant that he experienced all the passion and the joy and the sorrow and the things that goes on with being a man. Or in some of y'all's case, a woman. He knew what it meant. He said, but he made of himself no reputation. He said, being found in fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. Did you notice that word, even? He didn't just die. He died on the cross. He died because the people around him would rather have released a murderer, Barabbas. That's the kind of company that they would rather keep. You know, there's people in this world that they don't want good, wholesome people in their communities. They don't want clean living in their communities. They don't want righteousness in their communities. They openly embrace wickedness and violence. They openly embrace sin and sorrow. There's people in this world, and there will always be people in this world like that. They rejected Christ. They said, "Give us Barabbas. Crucify Jesus." He died there on the cross in an unjust way. It said, "God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth." Now, in my estimation, the significance of every knee bowing to him isn't so he can just, you know, "I'm Jesus." You know, that's not it. He was the first example. He was the first example. He walked in shoe leather but overcame the flesh. He walked in shoe leather but he didn't fulfill the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We will bow before him because he was our example. Because we admire him so great. Because our faith is in him. Our faith, we'll finally place our faith in the proper place. We'll finally place our faith in him, and we'll be so in awe, and we'll have such admiration for him, for what he accomplished, that we'll gladly bow before him. We'll gladly submit to him. Show us the way. Show us the way. Praise God. He said that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He said, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That goes back to Brother Durham's Bible study today. You're conscious. Oh boy, don't you know it's true? That moment, there's a moment right there where your conscience is saying, wait a minute. There's a moment, and don't you know it's true? That fear and trembling, your heart will begin to flutter. Hands might shake a little bit, and you know that right there you're at a decision point in your life where you're working out your salvation. You're going to either listen to your conscience or you're going to violate your conscience. He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He said, for it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things. Now this is a good verse right here. He said, do all things without murmuring and disputings. You know, that's hard to do. To do something without murmuring is a challenge. It really is. It's a difficult challenge. He said, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. I think somebody asked that question in Bible study today. Why is the world so dark? Why are there so many unruly, ungodly people? It's a hard explanation to give. But I'm not sure that it's even a question that can be answered. The solution, though, is for us to be blameless and harmless, to be a light shining in a dark world. He said, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now, I think he started that out. He said, let not, how did he say that? He said, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than themselves. And then he's saying this here, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain, or he could say vain glory. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Praise God. We're here to serve. He said, let every man. He said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Praise God. Hold fast to your joy. Hold fast to the blessings that God has provided to all of us. He said here in Colossians 1 and 23, he said, for if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Colossians 1:23, he said, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. See, the hope of the gospel is what we're talking about. The gospel of Christ is the gospel of salvation. Everything that he worked for, everything that he put his labor into, everything that he sought, everything that he built, was all for the salvation of humanity. That's the hope of the gospel, praise God. That's the hope of the gospel. The sickness that we experience, the frustrations that we go through, the sadness, the sorrow, those things that trouble us, those are not, doing away with those things is not the, that's not the fulfillment of our hope. Because that's life. Sorrow, sickness, disappointments. Just like this week, we've had a death and we've had life. That's life. I've often said death is harder on the living than it is the dead. And you can bear that out in the Scripture. The dead don't even know they're dead. It's just life. There's highs, there's lows. There's good times, there's bad times. The hope of the gospel is not just living a life of all good times. The hope of the gospel is not just living a life where all you ever eat is sugar and candy. That's not the hope of the gospel. The hope of the gospel is for us to be saved as we go through this life. For us to be a light in a dark world. For us to show the others that, look, put your faith, your trust, your confidence in God. Don't trust, don't put your faith in man. What is that scripture said? Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. You'll experience a curse. You put your trust in man. If you put your faith in man, man's going to let you down. Put your trust in God. And then if a man lets you down, what did we read last week? Though a just man falls seven times, yet will he rise again. It happens. If you put your trust in God and somebody next to you falls or somebody next to you stumbles, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to seek their wealth. You're supposed to seek out the things that are good for them. You're supposed to encourage them and lift them up and pray for them and have charity on them. Now, I understand there's some people that are dangerous. There's some people that present harm. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about people that oppose themselves. I'm talking about people that inflict harm on themselves or people that stumble through their own weaknesses and faults and failures. That's what I'm talking about. We're supposed to pray for them. We're supposed to lift them up. We're supposed to hold them up before the Lord. We're supposed to seek every man his brother's wealth. Praise God. That's to be our purpose. The salvation. What does the Bible say? That he that winneth souls is wise? And then said that the angels rejoice? How does that scripture go? The angels rejoice at the saving of one soul. And of course, we see the illustration of the prodigal son, where the father, he killed the fatted calf, he threw a party, he did everything he could do to make sure that wayward son came home and felt the love that the father never lost. He always had that love. You know, I appreciate how you said that, Brother York. God never loses his love for us, even when we fail him. Even when our heart may be as black as coal, just like the prodigal son, he doesn't lose that love. We have so many things to be thankful for. Brother Lucas said that having thankfulness, if you have thankfulness, you don't have a short memory. You have a long memory. If you have thankfulness, you have a long memory. As you will, you'll start, and you can't help yourself. You start giving thanks for one thing, oh, man, and then you remember something else. And then, I shouldn't say this, but that's probably the one thing that everybody dreads over Thanksgiving dinner is that long list of thankfulness. You know what I'm talking about. Where the food is sitting there on the table and the aromas fill the air and you can see the steam just rising off that turkey. And, you could just, that moist, succulent meat. You could just taste it. And then someone, and I'm thankful for. And they start at January 1 and they go, I'm just teasing a little bit. Praise God. We do want to pray for everyone that's traveling. It's been mentioned, Brother Smith is in Hot Springs visiting Brett, and hopefully he's going to be able to visit Brother Teddy Fry, which thrilled me when I heard that. I was really happy to hear that. And then also, of course, Brother Brett and his family, that God would give him a swift recovery. He's got a long road ahead of him. At least probably minimum 3-month recovery, at least maybe multiple surgeries, and it's a very unfortunate circumstance for him. I think Brother and Sister Fisher are in Texas or maybe on their way home, so let's remember them. Brother Michael and Sister Cindy are probably still in Texas or on their way home. We want to remember them in prayer, remember the Lucas family. I'm sure they'll be headed back home this afternoon. Remember them in prayer. Sir, they went to Kansas. Okay, Brother Matthew and Sister Eva went to Kansas City. Okay, Brother Ron and Sister Beth Johnson and their needs. Very good. And then there's Brother Fleming's family. I know, I should tell you this, just a little backstory. Brother Fleming, I think Brother Tally, you might have talked to him Monday night. Is that right? Monday day. And at some point, sometime Monday night, early Tuesday morning, I'm not sure if that's been determined or if it was ever determined, Brother Fleming passed away. I don't know if anybody even knows what the cause was. Massive stroke. Oh, really? Brother Durham said that when they found him, he was holding mail, like envelopes, in his hand. And so they think maybe it was a massive stroke. It happened really fast. So, but it did happen so fast that no one knew about it until Tuesday, I guess. And his family chose not to have a funeral, much of a funeral service, just graveside. And that was Friday. And, of course, you know, it just happened really fast. So we'll miss him. We'll miss him, but the Lord, you know, he went on to his reward according to the plan of God. And so we trust God for that. But we'll want to remember his family. Any other needs, Sister Fisher? Brother Bryant's sick. Yes, thank you. Sister Chelsea's niece is she's 2 years old, 2.5 years old in San Antonio, had a blood transfusion, really high fever. Did you say meningitis? That's what they're thinking. So it's a really bad, dire circumstance for that little girl. I remember her and her family. Sister York. Thank you. Okay. Yes, I did read about that. Thank you, Brother Scott, Sister Amy, and Brother Al. They went to Republic for Thanksgiving. So, and they're traveling home. Brother Scott's real sick, so let's remember them. Also, any other needs here? Yes, ma'am. Your husband. Very good. I sure will. Just happy to see Brother and Sister Crow here today. Praise God. All right. Before we pray, I want to read a poem to you, and then we'll pray and receive an offering, and we'll be dismissed. We want to remind y'all that there's no service tonight. This poem is, I've read it before, it's a bike ride with the Lord. It says, when I first met Christ, it seemed as though life was rather like a bike ride. But it was a tandem bike, and I noticed that Christ was in the back helping me pedal. I don't know just when it was that he suggested we trade places, but life has not been the same since. When I had control, I knew the way. It was rather boring, but predictable. It was the shortest distance between two points. But when Christ took the lead, he knew delightful long cuts, up mountains, and through rocky places at breakneck speeds. It was all I could do to hang on, even though it looked like madness. He said, pedal. Don't stop. I worried and was anxious and asked, where are you taking me? He laughed and didn't answer, and I started to learn to trust him. He took me to people with gifts that I needed, gifts of healing, acceptance, and joy. He said, give the gifts away. They're extra baggage. They're too much weight. So I did. I gave them to people we met. And I found that in giving, I received. And still, our burden was light. I did not trust him at first in control of my life. I thought he'd wreck it. But he knows bike secrets. He knows how to make it bend to take sharp corners. He knows how to jump to clear high rocks. Knows how to fly to shorten scary passages. And I'm learning to shut up and pedal in the strangest places. I'm beginning to enjoy the view and the cool breeze on my face with my delightful, constant companion, Jesus Christ. And just when I'm sure I can't go anymore, he just smiles and says, pedal. And he does, too. Praise God. Let's stand, and if the ushers are... Yes, ma'am. Remember Nick De La Rosa, and let's remember Sister Olivia Kitchens also and her family. Praise God. Oh, Lord, what great faith we
have. Hallelujah. We know that you know all things about our life. We know that you know our ups or downs, our highs or lows, our ins or outs. We know that you know our sorrow, our happiness. Oh, God, we put our trust in you, Lord. We trust you, Lord, with our life. We lay our lives at your feet. Ask you to direct our steps, to purify our heart, Lord. We open our windows. We open our doors to you, Lord. Invite you to come in and be with us, oh God, to direct our steps according to your will. We ask you, Lord, to let your healing mercy reach down and touch those that are sick and those that are afflicted, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to let the Spirit of God come in their homes and in their beds, Lord Jesus, and fill them with comfort and joy. Praise God. We trust you, Lord, that you'll be with us in everything. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed Savior, what a wonderful, wonderful feeling it is to be a child of God. Hallelujah. Oh, I love you, Lord. I have great confidence in you, Lord Jesus. I know that you'll supply all of our needs. Comfort those that are in need today, Lord Jesus. Be with this congregation, oh God, and bless this offering to be used for your glory and honor. Hallelujah. Wonderful Lord, wonderful Lord, wonderful Lord Jesus. Praise your blessed name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't you feel a thankfulness today? Praise God. Oh, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wonderful Lord, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God, hallelujah. Yes, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, Jesus is here, hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Be with us this week, God. Oh, Jesus, let your Spirit bring joy and peace to our life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Just remember, we will not have service tonight. And I pray and trust you all have a safe week. And we'll see you again Wednesday night at 7 for prayer meeting and service at 7:30. Have a good afternoon. Praise God.